Kia ora and hello, and you've arrived at the Revive and Thrive channel. If you're thinking of retiring from your main job or you've already retired, you're in the right space. And here we talk about how we can plan for our very best retirement. And it's very important because it can be for about a third of our lives, hence it's often called the third age. And here we catch up with people who have retired and also talk to people who are experts in their own fields about the various topics we cover. And today my guest will be Trish Veltman from the Kapiti Arts and Crafts Society, a group that works a lot with people who have retired. There may be some good ideas here for you of how to use some of that hobby creative time. So treat the Revive and Thrive channel as your partner to get you to the happiest retirement you could ever plan. And it's hello from me, Ron Tustin, to you for the next half hour. I've been involved in retirement planning for the last 15 years and a Kapiti resident for the last 12 years. So if you do have any questions about the program, or maybe you've got suggestions for future topics, please email me on radioinfo@gmail.com, or you can message me on our Facebook page, the Revive and Thrive channel. And today we're also talking about how well we are preparing for an ageing country. A new report from the Helen Clark Foundation called Age Proofing Aotearoa, Rethinking Our Infrastructure for an Ageing Population, it sends a final, a good warning to us and an opportunity. So I've mentioned many times how we're living longer, healthier lives. That's something to celebrate, but it also means the way our towns and our cities and our services are built, the way we design our future, all really has to change. So right now, about one in six New Zealanders is aged 65 or over. Now in 25 years, that will be closer to one in four, roughly 1.5 million people. That's almost double what it is today. And while our population gets older, the share of people in the working age group, those who build, staff and pay for our infrastructure, that's shrinking. So the question is simple but urgent. Are we ready? And the report's authors say, well, not quite. We're aware of what's coming, but we haven't yet built the systems, homes or the services to match that reality. There's a term called ageing in place, and most of us want to age in place. That means staying in our own homes and communities for as long as possible. It's good for well-being, independence, and often more affordable than residential care, but many homes simply aren't designed for that. Steep driveways, narrow doorways, slippery bathrooms, the small details that actually make a big difference. We also need to redesign communities that are easy to move around, with public transport, local shops, green spaces and services all close. The kind of neighbourhood where we don't need to drive everywhere. And as anyone who's tried to navigate a steep footpath with a walking frame will tell you, the design of our streets and our footpaths matters a lot. Home ownership's also changing. Older people today are more likely to rent than previous generations, and that trend will continue. That means many of us are aging in homes we don't own, and often in houses not well suited to their needs. So rising rents and fixed incomes, they don't mix well, and housing insecurity can hit older people hard. The report calls for a rethink of our housing system. Adaptable homes, close to transport and services, medium density housing, co-housing, and intergenerational living. Ideas that might once have sounded a bit unusual, but could soon become mainstream. Because the goal isn't just to build more houses, it's to build better ones, homes that work for us across our whole lives. Health services is another area they've focused attention on, and health and aged care services are already under pressure. And the report highlights that this will only intensify as our population ages. Right now, people aged 85 and over make up a small fraction of the population, but they account for a very large share of hospital and care costs. As that group grows, we'll need more staff, more beds, and more community-based care options. The authors warn that without early planning, the system could struggle to cope. But they also stress that ageing isn't just about healthcare. It's about prevention, supporting people to stay healthy and connected before they actually need intensive care. Then if you can't get to the doctor or the supermarket or your friends, you're cut off. So transport is one of the most powerful enablers of independence. Yet many older New Zealanders lose access to reliable transport when they stop driving. The report urges investment in accessible, affordable public and community transport. That means buses that are easy to get on and off, timetables that make sense, and footpaths that are safe to use. It also means rethinking how we plan towns and suburbs. We've spent decades building for cars, wide roads, long commutes, spread out suburbs. And the report suggests we now need to design or redesign with people in mind, especially those who move more slowly or don't drive at all. The good news is that what's good for older people, walkable, well-connected, accessible neighbourhoods, is good for all of us. The report talks about something called social infrastructure. Now, that's the stuff that connects us. Libraries, parks, community halls, digital services, even cafes. These places may not make headlines, but they make communities work. They help people stay active, meet others, and feel part of something. For older people, that sense of belonging can be life-changing. One example is digital access. Many services, from banking to health appointments, have gone online. But not everyone finds technology easy. The report recommends stronger investment in digital inclusion, teaching, support, and equipment, so that no one is left behind as society moves online. And the researchers also found there's lots of data about ageing, lots of information. We're not yet using it that effectively. Planning for population ageing is often reactive, happening after pressure builds rather than proactive. Now, different government agencies and councils often work in silos. Housing policy doesn't always align with health planning. Transport upgrades might ignore accessibility, and long-term infrastructure investment rarely considers how older populations will use these systems. And the report calls for more joined-up planning and for ageing to be treated as a central design factor, not a side issue. Now, it would be easy to see all this as a crisis, but the authors are clear. In ageing Aotearoa, can also be a huge opportunity. Older people bring experience, stability, and community leadership. Many volunteer, care for their whānau, and contribute in ways that go beyond paid work. If we design our systems to include and value that contribution, we build stronger communities for everyone. The report offers a lot of practical steps. Firstly, make ageing a central consideration in every major infrastructure and urban planning decision. Gather better data and actually use it to plan where services and investment should go. Support regions like Kapiti and Horowhenua, where older populations are growing fastest, not just the big cities. In housing, focus on accessibility, adaptability and affordability, and build closer to transport and amenities. Then in transport, fund options beyond private cars, reliable public and community transport that works for older people. In health and social services, invest early in home-based and preventive care. And most importantly, involve older people themselves in planning decisions They know what their needs are. So the message from age-proofing Aotearoa is simple. We do have time, but not much. If we start planning, we can create a New Zealand that works beautifully for people at every stage of life. If we wait, we risk higher costs, greater inequality, and more pressure on families, communities, and space. Growing older is a success story. It means we've built a society where more people live longer. Now we need to make sure that those extra years are lived well, with independence, safety, and connection. So as we look towards the future, maybe it's time to ask, are we building homes and communities that we'd want to live in when we're 80? Because aging isn't just about them. It's about all of us, sooner or later. So the Age Proofing Aotearoa report reminds us that if we design wisely, an older New Zealand can also be a better New Zealand, fairer, more inclusive, and ready for the future. Well, it's now my pleasure to talk with Trish Veltman from the Kapiti Arts and Crafts Society. So welcome, Trish, to the program.
Morning. Right. Nice to be here.
Right. So what does the Kapiti Arts and Crafts Society presently offer to people who may wish to get more involved in the arts?
Oh, a whole range of things. I brought along a leaflet which shows the different groups that we have within the society.
Oh, okay.
So all sorts of different art media. We have watercolour painting and multimedia, embroidery and quilting, leatherwork and wood carving, stampers and card making, pottery and sculpture, which is mine.
Right.
Spinners, weavers and knitters, jewellery group, oil and acrylic painting, and pastels and felters.
Right.
So those are the different groups. A couple of them meet a couple of times a month.
Right.
Most of them meet every week.
Right. So unfortunately, we're not radio with pictures. So if what people want the pictures, they want the ideas that the sort of the course is available. Can they find those somewhere?
We don't so much offer courses, but yes, we have a website.
Yeah.
Yes, we do. And we've also got a gallery attached to our workrooms, and that's on Matai Road in Raumati Beach. And we have a shop on Raumati Road in the village, Raumati Village. So, yes, three ways to get in touch.
So, if for example, I was interested in getting involved in one of the courses on pottery.
Yes,
pottery. You know, what would happen?
Well, we've got, if you called into the gallery, we've got this timetable of when the courses are and the phone numbers of the person who runs that particular group.
Right.
You would need to join the society first, but you can also do that at the gallery, on the website, or at the shop. So then you would just telephone the person of the group you're interested in, and they would talk to you about what you need to do. And basically it's come along, bring your art stuff.
Right.
Paint, pot, whatever.
Right.
What's really good about it is the companionship you get. I think a lot of people, they practice their art at home.
Oh, okay.
And it can be quite lonely. But working in a group, you get the companionship of like-minded people.
Yes.
And you also get the encouragement. And you learn heaps, even though we don't actually teach courses. You do learn just from working with other people.
Right.
And it can expand the things you explore within your art, make you try things you hadn't thought of, or perfect a technique because you see somebody else is doing that really well and you learn from that. I've been doing pottery for 3 years, and first attempts are just, you look at them now and you think, oh. At the time, you're very proud of them.
Yes.
But you make so much progress just yeah. being with other people doing things.
So the pattern is often you're practicing at home. You might so going back to the pottery example, you might have a wheel.
Yes, yes, at I home. Do. Yeah.
But you can also go to the centre at Rarity.
Yes, and the pottery mm-hmm. is, we've got two kilns, we've got three or four wheels, I can't remember at the moment. So, you know, if you're a hand builder, we've got the big tables to work at.
Right.
We've got all the glazes for glazing your pottery.
Mm.
And there's a small charge for putting your things yeah. through the kiln. But it's much cheaper than having your own.
So are there certain days for the certain different crafts?
The pottery is on a Wednesday morning from 9 till 12:30
right.
or 12, and and on a Thursday evening from 7 till 9. Now we tend to, with newcomers to pottery, we tend to do a brief course, introductory course for
yes.
them,
mm-hmm.
just to make sure that they understand how to use the glazes and so on.
And in the other types of classes,
if it's wrong,
yeah, would you do something similar?
Well, I'd like to develop classes. I think that's a really good way to get people in
and give
them a taster of something.
Mm.
Because I know from my own experience, when I first joined, it was quite overwhelming having all these choices.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it took me a while to settle on what I wanted to do. And I tried a couple of different things.
Yeah.
But, yeah, pottery was my big love, so I stuck with that. But, it can be a bit overwhelming making a choice.
I
think having introductory classes can be a great way for people just to try different things.
And is your experience in terms of the people who come along, are many of them in the category of being retired? Or
Yes, most of our members are.
Are they?
Which is great. It's wonderful. But I do think, in terms of the society, I want to promote it more widely
and
encourage a wider age range of people, some younger people.
Yeah.
But I think realistically, it is going to mostly be retired people because mostly they've got the time and all the groups apart from the one pottery one. Meet during the day.
So. Okay. So that's great. So I am aware of certain retired friends who do the work there. But how would you like to get the message out to other people? I mean, do you find you're full to the brim, or would you be welcoming new members?
Oh, we certainly welcome new members.
Would
yes.
you?
Yeah. Yes, definitely. Yeah. So encourage people to come along. That would be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think one of the things we also offer, because we've got the gallery and the shop, people can join the society. They may not want to go to the groups, but they can sell their work through the gallery and the shop. So, and that attracts a lot of people as well.
Yeah, I imagine it would. So let's go back to that comment you made earlier. About social interaction, the linking with other people. Can you tell us any stories about how that's happened and what benefit it is for people to have that link?
I think friendship is important.
Right.
And I think often when you're retired, that can be a huge shock to the system because you've had work, you've been with people all the time.
Yes. Yeah.
And often when you retire, you might live somewhere different than you did when you were working.
Yes.
So you've got to meet a whole new group of people, and it can be quite difficult.
Right.
And an organisation like this really helps that.
And you've got some common ground there to talk about what you're doing
together.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes.
Haven't
yes.
you? Yeah.
Yeah. And there's some very, very strong friendships forged through the group, which is lovely.
Yeah.
It's been going since 1974, and a lot of the current members have been involved since certainly the late 70s, if not the very beginning.
Right.
So, yes. Yeah.
And obviously you have the advantage when you're ready to go through the whole process. So you're learning the craft or the art, and then you're practicing it both at home and sharing ideas with others.
Yeah.
But then you have the opportunity, as you say, when it's worth it, you think, to put it in the shop.
Yes.
Or put it on exhibition.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have exhibitions as well, do you?
Yes, we do. We have 10 exhibitions a year. I've just come today from setting the new one up for the art trail.
Oh, yes.
So after this, I have to rush back and help finish with the rest of the team. And we've got some wonderful things. We've got some amazing paintings in this time. Lovely mix of landscapes, seascapes, abstract.
Yeah.
Some beautiful work. I can't remember what the technique's called, but it's when it's like sunlight photography.
Oh, okay.
So when you get the photographic paper and put things on and just let the sun do its work. There's some beautiful
pieces.
That's
interesting. Yeah.
And lots of pottery. So,
yeah.
Some great Christmas gifts.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's wonderful. And if people want to get involved then, as we started talking about, in doing something, they can make contact through the website. And see
So that's capitiartsandcrafts.com.
Yeah. Right, okay. So can you give me any indication of a couple of stories of success, or individuals you may know who maybe the ones from who joined in the 70s or much later, I don't know.
I think one springs to mind. You may have come across her work a potter. And I'm not sure how long she's been going, but now she has work all across the region and teaches up at Ōtaki.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so she started doing something else completely different form of art.
Right.
And then she got into pottery. And she's quite an established name. She's done retreats at... Driving Creek property up in the Coromandel.
Oh, yes.
And the Tahoro kilns that have just been set up lately.
Oh, really?
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so she's got quite a successful little thing going, which is, and it's lovely to see. And I think other stories, for me, the ones that really strike me are people who come in and they're doing, this is specifically the pottery, they're doing it for fun. And you watch them develop each week and just learning more.
Yeah.
But they might not be very confident. And so when you talk about, are you going to put something in the exhibition? Oh, no, I'm not good enough. No, it's not. No.
Right.
But then a few months later, there's a piece with that person's name on.
Yes.
And it's just... it's just a delight to see that confidence that people build through working together like that and developing their skills.
Yeah, those sort of benefits you can't get just by beavering away at home.
Exactly.
Can you?
No, exactly.
You're going to be sharing the ideas with others and become more confident that way.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's such a thrill. I mean, it's lovely when you sell stuff. That's obviously a bonus. But it's a real thrill to see your work on display and other people looking at it and admiring it. And
So obviously the exhibitions and the competitions are really important for people for that reason alone, but for many reasons, I'm sure. So you can see it alongside other people's. And as you say, the area you're working in is an area which is becoming known for its arts. As you say, there's an arts trail on every year. It gets to be known every year. It's a place where you can open your doors at that time when there are lots of visitors to the area.
Yeah.
Does that work well for you?
It does, yes. We often get busloads of people up.
Oh, really?
One of the difficulties for the gallery is we're on Matai Road, which tends to be a road people don't drive down unless they live there.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're not as visible as, say, I mean, obviously the Mahara Gallery in the centre of Waikanae, you can't miss it.
Yeah.
We're not particularly visible in that sense.
Yeah, yeah.
But we get so many people coming on buses. So because we put the promotion out, we put posters around, we've got the website, we promote ourselves on Facebook.
Yes.
But I think it's just partly the position. We're not getting a lot of people passing by.
Yeah. Yeah.
So whereas the shop does.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's right important in a community where we know it's changing, the population's increasing. Mm. We're getting a mix of ages, as you say, you're trying to attract younger people as well in there at the moment.
Yeah.
So that's great.
Yeah.
So just to recap again, I want to join the Arts and Crafts Society.
Yeah.
What do I do?
You can go onto the website, www.capitiartsandcrafts.com, and there's a page on the website when you can click subscribe and it'll take you through a form to do it online.
Right.
You could either telephone the gallery when it's open, which is 10 till 3 Thursday to Sunday.
Yes.
Or you can pop in, fill in a form, and the same at the shop.
Right. Thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome.
Appreciate that. Right.
Thank you for having me.
Now, if you have any comments or ideas you want to see included in future programs, please contact me at radioinfo@gmail.com. Thank you.
This program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.